This is the Elizabeth School District Board of Directors meeting Wednesday, October 26, 2022, special working session. And I'd like to call this meeting to order at 5:01 p.m. All right, roll call, please.
Director Blackham.
Here.
Director Booth.
Here.
Director Cronfeller.
Here.
Director Crocher.
Here.
Director.
All right, let's please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, can I get a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved. Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Director Blackham?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Director Cronfeller?
Yes.
Director Crocher?
Aye.
Director Olson?
Aye.
All right. Before we start getting into the action items, I wanted to make a comment coming from me as the president of the board and as a board member that our meeting on Monday, there was a 0-5 vote against extending the interim superintendent contract. And I just wanted to say from my chair and my perspective that that was not to say that we were not extending the contract. It was to allow Rhonda in particular to ask questions and get a little bit more information. I think Bill is doing a fabulous job in the district. I think he's doing everything that we're asking him to do, and he's doing it promptly and adding everything else in. So I just wanted to make my point about and my perception about that vote. So Bill, you know, please know that that was not a vote of no confidence for you. It was simply to add.
I think from all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we just wanted some information.
Right. I mean,
Yeah. So I just wanted to state that
Ditto. For
public record. Okay, thank you very much. All right, so.
So at this time, can I move that we accept the contract as written? And I know that I have the obligation or privilege later on to amend my motion.
Yeah.
Wait.
Absolutely. So you can make the motion. Absolutely, you can make the motion. So you are making a motion to approve it, okay?
So
second?
Second.
Second? All right, now we can talk about it. Any discussion?
Now discussion, yes.
Okay.
So some of the questions that I had aren't concerning Bill's performance, but it's concerning the role of the interim position and the making of long-term plans for the district in an interim role. That was the concern that I had.
Okay.
I don't have any concerns about your performance, but it's overall long-term plans, long-term decisions, long-term changes being made on behalf of the district. Again, from the interim position. What I would like to see is the day-to-day functions, the putting out the fire, but that's my big thing. Is I think that those long-term decisions should be made by someone who's in the position permanently and who has been basically hired by the community, the constituents, the parents, in addition to the board. So those were my concerns with it.
I think that the interim, when we approved 5-0 mm-hmm. him as the interim superintendent, mm-hmm. interim superintendent is to act on as the superintendent mm-hmm. in every capacity, not just some and not just the day-to-day operations. And I think some of the long-term issues that we've had come up, like our master plan and trying to kind of figure out what direction we're going to head. Mm-hmm. I expect him to have that responsibility and make recommendations, because we can't stop operating even in the short term. And it may take, when we do our superintendent search, it may take us. We may not have a new superintendent until the end of June next year. and depending on how what direction we head. Mm-hmm. So, Rhonda, I think that I hear what you're saying, but mm-hmm. I think it's Bill's responsibility to act as the superintendent in the interim basis. And I think that he should be making those long-term decisions and just communicating those. He's working, I think, very well with the leadership in the district. Any other feedback or thoughts on that?
Well, I'd have to echo Rhonda. And for all we know, it could be Bill who's the new superintendent of the district. And if that is, then so be it. But I do have a little caution about an interim who's not fully vested in that position. It is an interim position. He may become it, and great, then run with it, but he might also then become back to the assistant superintendent. So I just, he's not super familiar with the community either. I mean, and
you're getting there, but
yeah. So I'm hesitant on long-term plans that will affect our district for the next 10, 20, and beyond.
So give us an example of what you're concerned about, and the long-term
construction.
Construction.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that could probably still fall under operations when that time comes.
Right, as an assistant superintendent?
Yeah. So that's already going to be something you're going to be dealing with as an interim or as an assistant.
But if you were asking a question, as assistant superintendent, I'm responsible for overseeing construction mm-hmm. and capital improvements and operations. Yes. Okay.
Which we also did, I think.
And I think, in general, obviously, we're all of those things fall under you as the interim. I'm not sure I'm real clear about what delineates and what's going to be your specific roles as an assistant. And, you know, that's obviously something that we can talk about ongoing. But like Carrie said, right now we're treating you like you're the superintendent and taking charge of the things day to day and some of the long-term things. And, you know, we mentioned the word long-term, and that's one that I think we need to get going on to that long-term strategic plan. We can't wait too much longer.
Right. If you're in that, we put you in that decision-making position, you know, to look into that.
And I don't understand your comment about that he's not invested into the community, and you're telling me that somebody, a new superintendent, if one was hired in a month from now, would be invested in our community?
That permanent position.
Well, but he isn't invested in the permanent or in the position that is at hand right now. I mean, you said for the community. I mean,
well, I just meant he's not super familiar with the community either.
And you're so thinking somebody in 1 month they are going to be
so
well, understand
that. Let me answer. So there's two things: is that he doesn't have a good beat yet on this community yet, like Rhonda said, and number two is that. That's not a permanent position, so it's kind of twofold.
So if you were running a business and you had the possibility of expansion, but you had someone who was in the role in an interim that, you know, could potentially roll into the long term, you know, but would you be fine with saying, here, let me, you know, figure out where we're going to expand to. This is, you know, we're a chain. This is where we're going to have our next location.
If that person was doing the duties that was asked of him and going above and beyond, which I believe that we have all seen those actions, so yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've all decided that we're, or the majority of the board decided to move forward with a firm to seek an outside source to hire a superintendent. He may be in the running. Mm-hmm. He may choose not to. Who knows? But then let us give that option at that time. But up until then, we cannot stop production or anything or moving forward just because we don't have that, you know, permanent position filled right now. So yes, you would have to, as a business owner of any sort, you would have to continue moving forward. And then knowing that you're going to have this company that's going to be interviewing superintendents for us, and then we can move forward from there. So yeah, you can't stop production. You can't stop on anything. You have to keep moving forward.
I feel like we stopped on the search.
Yep, we have.
That doesn't seem to be as pressing of a matter.
That's not true. And we do have an update on that at the end, at the right time on the agenda. So bear with me on that, because we did just talk to the company today. So we'll have a follow-up on that.
Well, again, we can all have our opinions. And you're right, one right. person. Yeah, you're one person. I'm one person.
I would just like to say that I think Bill is familiar with the community. He has done a lot of work to go out and work with the community at all of the other options and opportunities. And so he's doing it because he is an employee of the district, whether he's the assistant superintendent or the interim superintendent. He's doing the job.
No matter what, because he's going to be the assistant at the end of the day. If something goes in the wrong direction, he's still vested in this community.
Okay. Any other comments?
That was my one concern.
Okay.
I didn't say he's not doing a good job.
I know you didn't.
So I don't want that implied. Right. That my only concern was in that position, making long-term decisions on behalf of the community, the constituents, and the schools.
Okay. All right, roll call.
Dr. Blackham.
Aye.
Dr. Booth.
No.
Dr. Frumfeller.
Yes.
Dr. Karcher.
Aye.
Dr. Olson.
Aye.
All right. Let's open the floor right now for any discussion around adopting the new working board norms that we discussed with George Welsh in a meeting last week.
And I'd like to table this until November. I haven't had a chance to really look over it.
Okay. So you haven't had a chance to look at it. Were there issues that we decided as a board that those would be the norms going forward?
I mean, to a point, but I just haven't had a chance. I mean, I've just kind of got it in the last 24 hours, so I'm sure we can come back around in November.
Okay.
I just haven't had enough time to look at it.
Comments?
You know, something that may help to make something useful as a tool. I turned it into a self-assessment, since part of it is the self-improvement. And so it's a way for us to take a look at ourselves individually and ourselves as a board. And so I went ahead and graded myself. Not
the teacher coming out.
I know, it is. I gave myself a D. That's not, you know, real great. But I'm passing. I heard the snicker. I'm passing. But I would like to give everybody one, and it might be a tool that you feel comfortable with, at least kind of gathering our thoughts around it, because how many times have we created mission statements or, in this case, norms, and it's just a plaque on the wall. But this is something I think we can each take a look at and see if it's something we can use.
Yeah, I just think it's really important before we just stick something up there that we really take time to look at it.
It is something, though, that we all talked about and had, and he typed it out in front of us on the screen.
Mm-hmm. So I would have to request as well that we table it. And basically, you know, we got these at 2:25 yesterday afternoon. I work full time. So, you know, I got home after 6 last night, went to bed at 8, got up at 4 this morning. So, and came straight from work. So I really did not have time to go through this line by line.
Anybody Well,
I mean, it seems pretty straightforward.
It is. It's what we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Right, but he said he was going to kind of finesse it a little bit, and I just haven't had time to sit here and really read it line by line. So he said he was going to make it look a little better, so he's changed something on here, so it's not like he took exactly what was there and put it on here. So I just wanted to have the time to look. Unless there's an urgent need to throw this up there right away.
I think it's important that the board has norms, because we did that because we've had challenges working together and working towards the same goal and objective. And so we had him come in and consult with us and help us through that process, because it's not simple for me to do that. And so we spent 4 hours with him, mm-hmm. going through this. And I went through them, and it's nothing is any different than what we had talked about.
I just did what the high school kids did and took a screenshot and was able to take what we had on the screen and be able to create this. So, you know, it was pretty close to the finished product.
I like that too. I think that's good. All right, so there was no motion.
There was. Booth motioned, Olson second, so we need to do roll call.
Okay.
And the motion was to postpone.
Correct. To table.
Table.
Okay, all right. Roll call, please.
Director Blackham.
No.
Director Booth.
No.
Director Frumfeller.
Wait, you gave a look. Am I?
I don't know against your motion.
Yeah, I am. So I'm sorry, I misunderstood the insane no. Can you please change that to yes?
Director Frumfeller?
No.
Director Karcher?
No.
Director Olson?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Motion fails. All right. Do I need to?
There's no existing motion, just to clarify. Just right. As a point of order right now, there's no motion on the floor.
So do we have to make a motion then to accept this, to accept those norms, or is it just an automatic table?
If there's no motion to accept, if there's no motion to accept, then they're not accepted.
And I make a motion to accept the norms the way they are.
Second.
All right. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. Clarification. So when we talk in here about having our agenda items requests, in by timelines, getting the information in by timelines. So, like this last Monday, we all had our stuff in time, but yet the agenda was amended. So the agenda was put out, the official agenda was put out, and then it was amended before the meeting. So is that timeline, does that apply to all, or just the board members who have to submit their request to have stuff on the agenda?
I don't know.
The agenda was amended because we didn't get the norms from George Welsh.
Okay.
We tried to keep it on there in hopes that we would get them in time. So it was amended for that reason. So the reason the timeline wasn't followed was because the norms had not been approved yet.
Okay. So just to clarify.
I mean, we're trying to find a good routine, and I think this is what we're trying to go by. Mm-hmm. And we technically had that routine for our Monday's meeting, except to the fact that we didn't receive the document yet.
Okay.
And so technically, we could not have it on the agenda since we didn't receive it, and that's why, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's why we had to amend it to show that we removed it. Right. But that was it. But I mean, for us, we all kind of came together. Mm-hmm. Finally, mm-hmm. and came together and got our stuff in and our questions in on the schedule that we were all kind of saying that we wanted to work on that schedule.
Okay. So this will be this is how it will be for everyone. For the agenda. That will be when that agenda goes out on Friday, that should be the final. So
correct.
Okay.
Unless something happens, obviously. I mean, there's like
unless there's an emergency item that has
to go. Right. Or yeah, exactly. Okay. Or something has to get pulled because who knows what.
What about the documents, though? Like, when are the documents solidified? Because, like, for example, some of the documents didn't get added till Monday.
Well, I have just assumed because it was a new process.
And which is totally fine if that is the process, but it's very difficult.
But the minute that the meeting, I'm so sorry.
Go ahead, no, go up, you're good.
The minute that the meeting is made public, all those documents are posted online.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are.
But there's some documents that were added on Monday, though.
24 hours prior, this is Wednesday, and this is special.
I'm talking about the, not this.
So what was added on Monday?
Tell me what was added.
On Monday's meeting I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like that little thing that we all had to sign.
Oh, your core values?
Right.
Yeah, we just wanted to make it pretty.
That's right. It just wasn't on there, so I just, before. So I just didn't know.
Because there wasn't going to be anything to sign. And
there's no voting or anything
right.
like that. That
was no, you just, voted on your core values.
Well, we did. That's right, we did. Yeah.
You went over them during the retreat, and Director Baca made a great suggestion to make it pretty and have you guys sign them so that right. we could share with
which
everybody.
Is fine. I just want to know going forward.
So if you guys approve these working norms, whatever is written in these working norms will be followed.
Okay.
I would like, as just a point of order, though, to make sure as though we are, because I don't think 100% of Director Olson's question was answered. You, like, the policy around creating agendas would allow for, this is, the norms, in my opinion, are to create the best collaborative structure to work forward, but your board policy still allows for you to add or to remove items from the agenda with a majority vote at the time that we adopt the agenda. So for and so just as a reminder, for our regular meeting, which would be our scheduled business and working session meetings, it requires a simple majority vote. And so if an item needed to be removed or needed to be added, it could still be done so, but the governing norms, from my perspective, would be how we strive to continue to always work together to have the most meaningful way of providing the board with as much information as you can. I can say, from my perspective, knowing ahead of time helps me to know, like, okay, what can I gather to bring for the board, which knowing early when possible is best. For a special, the agenda policy for special meetings such as today, just to be totally kind of complete the box, would have required, even though we didn't amend the agenda, would have required 100% of board members to be present and a unanimous vote. So just wanted to delineate between those two. But I think maybe your question was left with thinking that things could only be taken off of the agenda, unless I misunderstood. But
well,
technically, by board policy, it could still be added.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Roll call, please.
Director. Director Blackham.
For adopting.
Wait. For adopting the working norms.
Okay. Aye.
Director Booth.
No, because I haven't looked at them.
Director Frumfeller.
Yes.
Director Carter.
Aye.
Director Olson.
Aye.
All right. We are going to move into executive session for, and I'll read this. But I would like to invite the Brett, Susan, Robin, Jason, Ken, Tammy, Mike to stay. Are there any other employees in the district that I missed? Yeah, you. You, oh, I didn't see you come in. Okay, oh, look at this, okay. So employees of the district, you are welcome to stay for this executive session. It's our safety and security discussion. Anyone else? Oh, yeah. So, with that said, I need a motion to move into executive session under CRS 24-6-402 4D for the purpose of discussing specialized details of security arrangements.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Director Blackham?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Director Frumfeller?
Yes.
Director Carter?
Aye.
Director Olson?
Aye.
Okay. All right, We are moving out of executive session and back into open session. And the time is 6:30 p.m. So, now, I hate to say this, but we're going to move into another executive session.
Wait, and you're not. We have to do the motion action.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's do the. Can I get a motion for next steps on safety and security?
Well, so I will reach out to Laura Carno. I'd like to make a motion to. Bring in LifeSpot for a presentation since they have already spoke to Mike. And then I will have get in touch with Faster to get a hold of Mike.
Okay. Second.
So we want to bring them in to present to the board?
Well, at this point, I'm only asking for LifeSpot because Faster has not talked with Mike yet.
Okay. So your motion is to have LifeSpot come in to present?
Yeah, so I guess it's only to have LifeSpot come in.
Okay. So, second?
I mean, I'll second it. I don't mind hearing what they have to say, but okay. I just...
Okay, and I think we've had a... Oh, do you want to add
all
something?
All I want to add is... Can we not do it this calendar year? Oh. We have November one meeting, December one meeting.
We can put it on January.
Okay, that's fine. All right, roll call, please.
Director Blackham?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Director Frumfeller?
Sorry.
Chair?
Yes.
Director Carter?
No.
Director Olson?
Aye.
Okay. All right. Now, can I get a motion to move into executive session under CRS 24-6-402 for the purpose of discussing matters required to be kept confidential pursuant to state law CRS 13-90-107 1B, specifically matters protected by the attorney-client privilege. Thank you. Privilege.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Director Blackham?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Director Frumfeller?
Yes.
Director Carter?
Aye.
Director Olson?
Aye.
All right. All right, we are moving out of executive session and back into open session. The time is 6:56 p.m. All right, I think we had a discussion. Can I get a motion for next steps on legal services?
I'd like to make a motion to postpone the steps for future legal services, either searching for a new one or having the communication again until March, our first meeting in March of 2023.
Second. Okay. Discussion? Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Blackham?
Aye.
Director Booth?
No.
Director Frumfeller?
Yes.
Director Carter?
Aye.
Director Olson?
Aye.
All right. Now we're moving on to discussion items. And the first one, 11.1, is the role of the superintendent of Elizabeth Schools. And I think one of the things that we did put together in our meeting with George Welch was we had all the sticky notes on the board of what was the responsibility of the board member, what was the responsibility of the superintendent, and we came up with some roles that were appropriate for the superintendent that we thought not all inclusive. And it didn't include the job description, the specific job description, but it was not all inclusive. So thought we'd use this as an opportunity to discuss that. I think who would like to go? Bill, is there anything you would like to provide us with, feedback on the role of the superintendent?
No, I appreciate the job description, the role. I think many of these are things that we've been building towards and already have established. And when I read over them, I feel as though there are things that I can easily support the board in. So I appreciate the guidance and clarity.
Okay. Did you guys have any comments or anything you wanted to discuss around what we came up with as a board in that meeting?
Were we also going to discuss the qualifications and the...
We're going to... Okay, so this is a good time for you to talk a little bit about
okay.
the...
So...
Do I need to leave?
No.
No.
So we talked with Tim Demers from Frederick Andrews. Mm-hmm. And we he has quite a bit of good guidelines and questions that we're going to be going off of. And he's going to send me by Friday a list of all the questions that will be going out for survey. And so on Friday, when he sends them to me, I will send them off to the rest of the board members. You're going to be out of town. And then you will have the opportunity to comment, to elaborate, to say what you... I would also like this kind of question and survey or question to be added on the survey as well. Send everything back to me, and then by the beginning of the week, Monday, Tuesday, whatever, we decide that, hey, I need a couple more days to get this done, but that just pushes everything off a little bit more. So if we can get through it at the weekend, and again, once I get it, I'll send it off to everybody right away. And then once he gets all the response back, then he will compile all the add-ons that we add, and then he will compile the survey. And then the survey will be, we'll see the final part of it before it goes public. And the survey will go out to, he said, the community, the teachers, and everything about the questions. And then during that time frame, that's how he will compile all the questions for the requirements. He's also going to be sending us a copy of what other schools have used as requirements, so we kind of have something to look at to say, oh, you know, this isn't a big thing for our district, or this is fantastic. Because I mean, I've never hired somebody, mm-hmm. you know, so I don't know how that requirements work. But he has a great guideline for us to look at, and I think that once we get it on Friday from him, it'll help us a lot better to where we are right now. And then he said, so, and correct me if I'm wrong on the time frame, but he said, Friday he gave it to me, get back to him early part of next week. Hopefully within 2 weeks he'll have all of those questions compiled. We'll be able to see, review once again. And then from there...
Responses.
He'll send everything off to the community
right.
And to the, it was parents as well. Mm-hmm. And then he said that he, usually on the first, within the first 3 days of the survey going out...
Ton of responses.
He gets a ton of responses. He would come back and recommend to us to send out a reminder, hey, just in case you guys didn't get your responses or do the survey, please look at it mm-hmm. and get back to us. He did say on the survey that there's, he had a weird word for it, but there's branches. So like say a question came to you about how important is this? Minimal, let's just say there's three. 1, 2, 3. Like three is the most important, 0, I don't, nothing, and one in the middle. If you hit one in the middle, it would trigger different questions as to what that importance part of it is for him. And so those questions would be a little bit different from the, oh, this is super important to me is number 3. That may go just right to the next question because you just answered that question completely. So he's trying to funnel through to see what is all important. And I think once we see it on Friday, I think our questions will be answered a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And so,
he received the role of the superintendent that we put together from our meeting, and he's going to take some of those
right.
and incorporate those into not only the survey but the job description, and send us job descriptions that he thinks would fit for us, and then we're going to do the same thing and provide him feedback, from the board on what we should eliminate in the job description, or what maybe there's something missing So we're all going to have that opportunity to do that. But the first step is really doing the survey in the community and sending those questions out and getting those responses. Then he'll come back with a, he's also going to send us a copy of the job description and the survey that they sent out for Douglas County.
Right.
Even though we all agreed, well, we, the three of us agreed that, that, you know, Douglas County is a different school district than we are. I mean, we're not all the same, so we're going to probably eliminate some of their questions and add in some of our own on the survey. So this process is really important to really develop and put together the right job description, what we're looking for in a superintendent. So then we'll start going through the process. Friday, he will also have a timeline,
right.
A specific timeline on, okay, so we're gonna do the survey by X, we're gonna do the job, we'll complete the job description by X, we're gonna have the posting or the search beginning by X, and you know,
right.
It sounded like, he didn't give us a specific date, but it sounded like it's gonna be pretty quick.
You know, right.
That he's gonna do that process fairly quickly.
Do we need to schedule a meeting to go over?
When he gets that information back to us and makes a recommendation,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But there's no, there. You know, at this point, we don't have enough information. He doesn't have enough information. And when he gets it put together and he gets the information back from the community mm-hmm. and the parents.
And students too, right?
No.
No.
It's just parents and community. Staff though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, staff, it'll go to the staff. And then we get that, compile it, we'll have a better idea of what it's gonna look like. Okay.
So Jim is
involved
wait.
Because he wants a point person. And since I'm not available, Kim is the vice president of the board, so she would be the logical person to be the point person, you know,
right.
To get all the information back and forth and take care of in my absence, and she'll do a terrific job. Okay? So that's kind of where we are with that process.
I think Friday will help answer a lot of our questions.
Yep. Okay. All right, 11.2, transgender restroom issues.
I think I tabled this until November. I'm not prepared.
Well,
do you want to talk about it?
Do you mind if I, okay. So, you know, we know in this climate that we're in, that it's inevitable. And I would just like to talk about how we are going to address areas such as bathrooms and locker rooms. And this is, you know, this, you know, I don't want to circle back, but I will. This is one of the things that I wanted to talk about when the bonus issue came up and we got the extra money. I wasn't against bonuses, but I wanted to talk and strategize about what to do with that money because, you know, you have things that arise and, you know, and we all know that this is coming, and I wanted to look at how we're going to address the bathroom issues. So what I would like to do is propose to bring in a contractor and look at remodeling, you know, probably the most important first, the ones that are probably more age appropriate, into like a unisex. You know, stalls, floor, ceiling, you know, a little bit more, you know, you have the privacy in the stall, but if you come out.
Like a single bathroom.
Well, you know, even yeah. Single bathrooms, but when you think about it, and you've got kids who are in high school, and they've got to go to the bathroom, and there's one there, that could get pretty ugly. But, you know, maybe look at bringing in a contractor to start looking at our facilities and see about what we can do to be prepared and do the remodeling before it's, well, it's, you know, proactive. Try to be proactive instead of reactive.
I think at the high school, Craig, you mentioned that there were janitor closets that could be possibly converted, and that there are opportunities. I would agree that we could, that's something that we should pursue? What can we
more do as a unisex
right
bathroom,
unisex bathroom? Right.
You know, what would it take to remodel the existing facilities? You know, because you can have
the restrooms. You mean the current restrooms?
Or you know, even locker rooms. Yeah, I mean that's something that's going to have to be addressed at some point. And I would rather be again proactive. And start looking at it now.
Okay.
Is it something we can do in-house? Is our maintenance team?
Is it construction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Believe me, they've just
my guess push. Is when we're talking about plumbing and electrical, we're going to be pulling permits and doing all kinds of things like that. So it's probably best to, my opinion would be, it would be best to start with that being the end in mind in the beginning and start engaging the professionals. But I mean, it's certainly something I can start to work with Mark on to at least figure out who would we even want to call in. If I can do that, if you're looking to.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's a good idea.
You know, maybe it's not a matter of doing a gut job. Maybe it's a matter of just doing a retro.
Yeah. I have a portable shower that I take honey.
I'm kidding.
To make you use the janitor.
Yeah, really. Okay, well, good. I think that's a good recommendation. And
I appreciate the term proactive.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Okay, any other issues or discussion around that? Okay.
I can try to bring some sort of an update back to the board and let me connect with Mark, but sometime in a near but future outcome.
So. Yeah, if we have an idea of what we're looking at as far as money goes, then we can plan it.
It may also factor into your budget assumptions as you're developing the 23-24 budget. So,
yes. All right. 11.3 social emotional learning. Heather, that was one you wanted on the agenda.
I might have to table that till November as well.
Okay. Do you want to take that, Rhonda?
Well, I can talk about my concerns with social emotional learning in schools. Okay. And I know I'm probably not going to make a lot of fans with this, and I apologize, but I do have my concerns. You know, when I heard we had social emotional learning, you know, I started to do my research and I looked at both sides of it, and then I look at our district or four schools. You know, social emotional learning was originally developed to address behavioral issues and learning disabilities, and now it is turning into something that I think has the potential to cause more harm than good. It's an expense, and there's a possibility that could infringe on parents' rights. And I think we need to revisit how it's being used, why it's being used.
So how can you kind of elaborate a little bit more on that? Infringe on the parents' rights doing differently than we were?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of you can just dip your toe in the water anymore, just have a little bit or have the good stuff. You know, you're dealing with kids who are at vulnerable ages. You are working with them on interpreting their emotions, expressing, suppressing. You are, you know, working with them on how to think, how to feel. And I think that I don't know how much that detracts from the actual academics and education of our students. And what if we're telling them to do something that doesn't necessarily align with what their parents believe? Do it this way. Think this way. Well, this is normal. When your parents like, oh, no, that's not really normal. Or perhaps that's maybe against our religion. When you look at the castle, when you look at the program Castle, which, you know, they're the king of social emotional learning, and you look at their equity and SEL statement, there's all of the trigger words in there. You know, I honestly think it's opening the door to let seniors come into our schools, and possibly worse, because now you're dealing with, you know, vulnerable kids, and, you know, they're going through a very tough age that can be very confusing, and I really don't think that it's our place as a school to go into this realm. I think it's our business to focus on academics and education. There were already, I mean, you already had systems in place for dealing with kids with emotional issues, behavioral issues, learning issues. But you had interventions in place to deal with that. So I guess I don't understand why we're doing away with those interventions and we are going with SEL instead. Do we have that much of a mental health issue in our district, in our lower school district?
What interventions are we doing away with?
Well,
in our past meetings we've had.
I know, but I wasn't aware and I didn't do my research. And I've done my research now and I have concerns. And there's probably some of the stuff that I gave you back in May. But I really think that this is stuff that needs to be looked into and it needs to be addressed.
So,
I mean, how much money are we spending on this? And how much is it detracting from the actual teaching of academics?
How much money so
are we spending?
On
are we spending on these programs?
Salaries?
Well, you've got salaries. You've got the curriculum. Have we really looked at it and evaluated it? And perhaps that's something we look at and evaluate for the next budget year. But I do have concerns, and I appreciate you, Bill, doing the opt-in on the session pulse versus the opt-out. I think that's very helpful. But I did want to bring it up and again provide you with this information again and ask that you look into it. And
so who do you want to, I mean, do you want that, the, are we directing Bill to look into it? Or is that what we're doing?
Sure.
Here's one of the things.
Well, ultimately we're responsible for curriculum. So curriculum is recommended to us, it's up to us to vet it.
I am not on page about the social emotional learning. I mean, I feel like that is, I feel like you're bringing too much into, and maybe not you directly, but I'm saying that maybe some have, but because you mentioned like the door to your TNSO
book. It is.
I mean, saying that about the mental health part, I mean, that's what I look at social emotional learning as part of the mental health department. And maybe we could have you come and discuss it maybe one of the next meetings again. I mean, she's our counselor. I mean, I would be more than willing.
You know, and we are in our survey that we're going to start. We are going to ask questions. We're not going to lead the question, but we are going to ask for a level of understanding and if what do they want to see in a superintendent as far as social emotional learning, maybe even critical race theory, in kind of in an indirect way, just to get a feel for the community, because we all agree that we don't. I can say it that I don't agree with critical race theory in our schools, and would if I knew it was happening, it would stop. But social emotional learning, the interpretation is different by different people. And so we call it social emotional learning. I think it's critical that if we identify one of our kids that is having struggles and problems, and they could be problems at home, but they're having problems, they could become suicidal or whatever, that we need to address it and we need to help it. Call it whatever you want, but I want a counselor, people trained to take care of those kids and help them so then they can be academically successful and educated and go through the district. I'm not saying we need a classroom full of psychologists, but what we have right now is good, and it may not even be good enough. We've got 1,900 kids, and with all the stuff that's going on now, in my perception, I think it's important that we call it whatever you want, whether it's, I don't know, help me, what do we call it? But I think
mental
we
health.
There's programs. Yeah, she's talking about the specific programs.
Right, but I think we're interpreting. So, I don't see right, the I'm, same.
What are our metrics? What are our metrics? How are we measuring whether it's successful or not?
Well, you did a presentation. You did.
Right? I did a presentation.
Where you were talking about the number of referrals that we were making to Centennial Health, right? And
the number of SRAs that we're doing, the number of threat assessments that we're doing, and then the community organizations that we partner with. Mm-hmm. And the outcomes that we see are, we haven't had a suicide in our district. I mean, knock on wood, we have interventions in place. We don't have data. That's hard data. I mean, we have what we've done, and I would be more than willing, and I know all of the counselors would, to present on our programs and what we do with students.
I think one of the challenges here, and you guys have touched on it, is like when I'm asked, like, what do we have for social emotional learning? Like, I honestly don't know how to answer the question because it is such a ambiguous term. When we talk about data, I think there's a legitimate argument to make that attendance data is impacted by mental health. I think there's a legitimate argument to be made as though, you know, disciplinary data, like how many referrals down in the office, how many, you know, students are receiving referrals for what sort of thing. But like, I think we are still in a place right now to where we don't know what we're like that. We don't have clarity on what social emotional learning is, and that's a struggle for me in terms of how do I support the board in understanding, like, are there programs, are there this, are there that. So that's one of the things that I think is a challenge when it comes to this topic in general. Is it is a very ambiguous topic.
And how do you define, you know, how do you define between mental health services and interventions? And, you know, it might be more understandable if we knew, like, the processes and procedures. Okay. And is any of this being implemented in the classroom? Stuff like that. And then, you know, like the different programs that we have, how are we measuring success? Like, what are the metrics?
No suicides, number one success right there.
Yeah, I think you could provide the district's statistics, right?
You know, it's hard to prove what you don't know. So we averted it as a district, but we can never take the numbers of the stuff we prevented because it never happened. So it's kind of the anomaly of we can't take what we don't know. So is the practices working? Yeah, but how do we prove that a student didn't do it because of the services they received? You can't.
So how many did we have before we started implementing the services?
How many what?
How many issues did we have as far as suicides?
There was, you said we had a lot of
SRAs.
Suicide risk assessment.
Right. Okay.
So how many
issues did we have?
So how do we like the suicide risk assessments? How do those go? Do they come to you, or like how does that work? I mean, are they referrals?
We could talk about this for a very long time. Yes. Yeah.
For the most part, they're referrals.
Students, we can bring it back. Administrators.
Yeah.
Okay.
Over. I think one of the key things you mentioned, Director Olson, is the process. Like, I think we can educate you all on the process. Yeah. And I think what's important in that process is how involved the parents are as a, like, partner in the process.
Yeah.
So I think that's something we can
that would certainly
bring back. And
I think it's going to be really tough to define the definition of social emotional learning, you know, because your information, you look at this, I don't think we're doing this in our district at all, but maybe we
I don't necessarily think that we are. But yeah. I just want to make sure that, as with everything else, it doesn't morph into that.
Yeah.
And if we have some education about it so that we can see it.
Mm-hmm. If it were.
So, I mean, we can bring some data. We can kind of bring in an example of a threat assessment and a suicide risk assessment. We can look at attendance data over the course of the last X number of years, discipline data. We can walk people through the process of the interventions and how we involve parents as a partner in the process. Sorry, I'm afraid I might have interrupted you.
No, that's fine. One of the things on the back end of this is the data that's gathered. I have a little worries about where that data goes.
Okay, so data privacy as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that good for you?
I would just like more information.
Okay.
And I would definitely like more parent engagement and involvement in the processes.
Maybe it is.
We just
don't know it.
We don't.
I mean, that just could be something that we just don't know, right?
Ordinance.
Someone like a partnership.
Yeah.
It gives us a context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, maybe there is that partnership that we just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. All right. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. And thank you all for joining us. Yeah. All right, there's nothing else on the agenda, so I adjourn this meeting at 7:24 p.m.